Filter.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
With Gene and with Chris, we're back assessing the impact of last week's episode featuring Thomas Fusco. And it's interesting how you look at listener reactions to a show. Some people love what he said. Some people said, you know what? This guy's just an amateur, and maybe he doesn't have much to support what he says. Interesting collection of viewpoints. Takes all kinds. In fact, one guy said, this is just an example of somebody who didn't like what he had to say. This guy's science is so bad, it was hard not to laugh. He really needs a formal education. To get on a radio show and spout utter nonsense as science speaks to his ignorance. Except for one thing, of course, he doesn't provide a single example of where this guy's science was so bad.
Well, I think he was kind of cutting to the chase a little bit and wasn't fully explaining, I think, some of his concepts and ideas. It's difficult to get on a two-hour, three-hour radio show and explain all the mysteries of the universe in such a way that you're not going to be talking down or up to people, but trying to talk to everyone. So, you know, I mean, he seems very, very endearing and he's very upbeat. He's a really nice guy. I had a good time chatting with him in Minnesota at the Paradigm Symposium. So, you know, it's refreshing to get somebody who's looking at this bewildering array of subjects in a new and kind of open, sort of fresh way. So, I mean, the guy's given it, you know, his best shot. It's a lot more than some people are attempting to do. Got a lot of armchair quarterbacks out there who seem to think that they know better than everyone. And nobody in particular that I'm referring to, but I've noticed in the years that I've been in this field, there's a lot of people that seem to really think that their opinion is worth something. You know, we all have opinions, and of course everyone is entitled to one. But at least Thomas is getting out there, and he's really attempting to share some of his ideas and move forward and get the word out instead of sitting at home twiddling his thumbs or whatever. So you have to at least, you know, give him a nod for that. And I just, you know, I enjoy talking with him, and I think he does need to maybe flesh out some of his ideas a little bit and possibly dive into some more heavy duty science instead of kind of referring to things in passing.
You know, one of the things, of course, that he doesn't want to do is tell you about his background. And the assumption one makes, therefore, is that he doesn't have an educational background in the fields that he studies, which is not necessarily a bad thing. Because a lot of times, as he suggests, if you study a specific field, you have a bit of tunnel vision there. You only know what happens in your little corner of the world, and you don't look at the entire picture. There's too much specialization. We don't know. It would be nice if he gave us more of a hint about having a background.
Yeah.
You know, we don't want him to make up anything, and I guess with some people who are busy making up their credentials and implying that they are something other than what they are, I guess that could work against him, unless he has, you know, five doctorates or something in every field that he covers.
Yeah. Well, I for some reason, I was under the impression he was actually an educator at some point, that he had taught as a teacher. I could be wrong in that regard, but in order to do that, I would think that you would need at least some form of degree. So the guy's very well-spoken. You know, he doesn't come across as trying to be something that he's not, which is refreshing.
He does not pretend to be a know-it-all.
No, he doesn't. And he's very enthusiastic, which I like. I think a lot of people in this field tend to get a little bit long in the tooth and you know, I speaking from personal experience, you get involved in this field for 20 years or more, you start to get a little jaded and thin-skinned, and, you know, it's hard to sort of maintain a sense of freshness and a sense of open-mindedness about your own work and your own thinking. So it's good to see new people get involved in the field. This is not for everybody, and it's as we both know, we've seen plenty of people over the years go by the wayside because these subjects just burn you out. And like this book that I'm trying to get done, it's just never ending. And if you let it get to you, it can really kind of put a damper on your day. So I can appreciate his enthusiasm at the very least.
You know, one of the things you do see in this field is where people become so wedded to their belief system that when you do get evidence that indicates what they believe may not be correct, they are very unwilling to change. You know, they go out on the lecture circuit. They obviously make some income from that. And they have staked a lot on particular pieces of evidence. And if someday something comes around and says, no, it's not the case, they don't get up there, which I think they should, and say, you know what? I want to know the truth, and I've learned that this maybe was given too much credibility. I think a person would look better, to be honest about it. But that's just me.
No. Well, yeah, there are plenty of examples, I think, that we, you know, raised over the years that kind of gives, you know, illustrate exactly what you're saying. Sometimes it's very difficult to become, as you put it, wedded to an idea, have that particular mode of thinking be called into question, and possibly evidence comes up that really calls it into question. It's very difficult at times to admit that possibly you'd been barking up the wrong tree. I mean, the many examples spring to mind. Stanton Friedman, the MJ-12 documents.
I think that's a big example.
Yeah.
And I think Stanton Friedman does really good work. He's very, very sincere. I don't see any evidence that he does anything that is ever less than honest.
No.
But he's just too wedded to MJ-12.
Yeah.
And I think at some point in time he's got to go back and look over that situation and see what's really going on. I don't know how long we can wait because, you know, he's not the youngest guy in the world. And maybe this is it for him. This is his point of view. This is his presentation. And let's let the next generation take over.
Yeah, that's his story, and he's sticking to it.
Well, I don't know. The more I've checked this field out, the more I find that, you know, maybe things are not what they seem.
No. Yeah, that's what I'm finding out. I mean, I've been working my tail off here on this book on the cattle mutilation mystery, and the more I get into it, the more confusing it. I actually feel that it's so much more complicated than the average person with just a peripheral knowledge of the subject matter. Too many people, I think, have just automatically assumed that it's one answer or another. And, you know, all these different answers, none of them work to the exclusion of the others. So, you know, it's mind-numbing territory. And you really have to take a step back every now and then and reassess. And unfortunately, I think people that are in this as a career are unable to do that. And I've often said that anybody who, you know, this is their sole source of income is, you know, lecturing about, you know, these people that these mysteries that we cover on the Paracast, you just got to reassess sometimes.
We're going to assess this next gentleman who works with Thomas Fusco, by the way. He's coming back for his second appearance on the Paracast. He's David Roundtree, and he's part of something called Spirit Lab, and he's a real audio engineer, has a real education, a real background, and he's got lots of insights to offer about spirit phenomena, EVP, lots more. He's also worked very closely with last week's guest, Thomas Fusco. So this is going to be fascinating. David Roundtree coming up next. You're in
the Paracast.
Yeah. Neighbors, are you tired of dealing with a slow web hosting provider? Well, check out A2 Hosting and their screaming fast Swift server platform. They even have SSDs that load pages 300% faster than the competition. Ready to give your site a speed boost? Well, tell you what, neighbors, head on over to a2hosting.com. That's A2, that's number 2, a2hosting.com. Check out their Prime Hosting account. And get this, neighbors, they're even giving you an exclusive 25% off discount for all our listeners. 25%. And remember, their Guru Crew support team is standing by 24/7, 365 days a year to answer any of your questions. Now, to get the discount, use the coupon code GENE when you check out.
Do you know how much the dollar has lost in its value against other currencies in the last 90 days? Ever think about how inflation will change your life, your savings, your retirement plans? Remember inflation in Zimbabwe, Argentina, the Weimar Republic? Put another way, who cares if your investments go up 10%, but you lose 40% of your purchasing power? Gold is the only monetary asset as no one else's liability. Gold still buys the same amount of stuff it always did. Gold does not require trust in a third party. You can possess it in your hand. You can take it with you. Gold is real money. Gold is honest money. My name is Daniel Larson from Midas Resources. To find out how you can protect your savings and roll over your IRA funds into precious metals accounts, please call me at 800-686-2237, extension 134. That's 800-686-2237, extension 134. 800-686-2237, extension 134.
We travel so much, and having a fake TV, well, it gives added peace of mind.
Burglars look for houses that appear to be easy targets. But fake TV can fool even professional burglars into thinking someone is home watching television.
As a recent widow living alone, it gives me great peace of mind to set my fake TV near a window and know that passing motorists and pedestrians will think someone is home watching TV when I'm actually away from home.
Fake TV easily plugs into any outlet, just like a light on a timer.
And they're so easy to use. You just plug them in and they're ready to go. Plus, they're so affordable that we have one upstairs and downstairs.
Fake TV is only $34.95 and makes a great Christmas gift. Order your fake TV by calling 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. That's 877-532-5388 or faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
It's no secret that silver is one of the oldest known natural antibiotics, but the mainstream media will never tell we the people this information. Why? Many drug companies and politicians have dangerous alliances that manipulate the way we live by prescribing drugs that only manage disease, keeping us dependent on Big Pharma. And with Obamacare at our doorstep, we are now forced into a system that many of us do not want any part of. And no man or government has the right to dictate how we as free people choose to take care of our health. The patriots at utopiasilver.com hold this truth dear. Colloidal and ionic silver supplements from utopiasilver.com open the door to a whole new world of natural healing for the body and the mind. Visit utopiasilver.com and discover the safe and effective health benefits of colloidal and ionic silver. Call 888-213-4338, 888-213-4338, and talk to the patriots at utopiasilver.com, a leading source of natural healing using colloidal silver, colloidal gold, minerals, vitamins, and herbs. utopiasilver.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Now, on last week's episode with Thomas Fusco, he mentioned that he does a lot of work with a fellow named David Roundtree, who's got a whole bunch of credentials here, such as AES, which is Audio Engineering Society. I hope I got that right. Director, Chief Science Advisor, Scientific, Paranormal, Investigative, Research, Information, and Technology, which stands for SPIRIT. Okay? So he's a lab guy, and he does measurements and stuff, things we need in the paranormal field. David, as someone who has a real credential as an audio engineer. What led you to this corner of the world?
Oh, my God, that's a long and convoluted story. I started out as a kid. I had an experience where my grandfather came and said goodbye to me one night when I was 7 years old. And I found out the next day he had died that night. So that kind of started me wondering. And then by the time I was 8 years old, my family moved to Florida. My next-door neighbor was a professor. And he had a library filled with books on every subject imaginable on the paranormal from the late 1800s to the 1960s, which was the period that I was growing up in. So I read everything he had. And when I got older, I decided that I would gear my education towards learning disciplines and skills that would be usable to try to understand exactly what was going on in the paranormal because I was curious.
Okay, so tell us the disciplines. Why audio, for example?
Well, audio engineering was a byproduct of my bachelor's degree, which was electrical engineering, and I had specialized in audio and acoustic engineering to make a living. I spent about 30 years on the road doing live production work, concerts, TV, you name it, dance companies, whatever paid, I did. I also was a lighting director at the time and designed lighting systems as well, but did that and eventually got a master's in it. Probably one of the top audio engineers on the East Coast of the United States. So I have an actual day job career. But I also started to study quantum mechanics and physics and degreed in physics as well. I'm working on a PhD in physics right now. So,
all right. So, of course, we have a few people in the paranormal field who tell us about all their great degrees, which certainly do not exist. And you've heard of a few of those cases.
That's correct. A lot of that out there.
So where are you taking your PhD from?
Well, I don't like to talk about my colleges because they have asked me not to mention them on the air. But I will say that I am a Gator alumni and let people take it from there.
All right.
Currently, I live in New Jersey, and I am studying at a university in New Jersey.
Sounds like a place my brother might have gone to, but that's another story.
I've had actually people call my alma maters and harass them trying to get information on my academic background and stuff. And, you know, it's not cool when you're trying to further education to have that sort of thing happen and be associated with the paranormal when you're in a science discipline. So it's not the kind of thing I put out.
Okay, so how do we apply this, your background in audio and engineering and lighting, to the things that you study in the paranormal field?
Well, audio engineering was something that I went into really because I enjoyed doing it. I understood it and had a lot of fun working at it. But my primary focus of research in 1976 when I started, you know, researching the paranormal was an EVP. Back then it was called the Rod of a Voice. The term EVP had not become a popular colloquialism at that time. But I was under the impression that it was not sound, basically from my academic background. And so I wanted to prove what it really was. And I wasn't able to prove what it was back in 1976, but I proved what it wasn't. And what I proved that it wasn't was sound. And how I did that was by utilizing a bell jar and creating a vacuum on the microphone inside of it, and was still able to record EVP. And as everybody knows, well, most everybody knows, that sound requires a medium to propagate. So without air in the jar, there's no medium. Therefore, there's no propagation of sound. So consequently, we were able to prove that it wasn't sound, but we couldn't prove what I kind of thought it was because we didn't have the technology available back then to do that.
Let's go into more of what it was.
Well, it wasn't until early 2000s, around 2001, where I actually had enough technology, software, and equipment to where I could literally look for what I thought it was. I always was under the belief that EVP was caused by EMF in the audio spectrum. And in order to prove that, I had to set up a series of tests where I would sample pure audio, which at the time we were using laboratory measurement condenser microphones, which will not pick up any kind of electromagnetic field. Dynamic microphones, which do pick up electromagnetic fields through their voice coil, and detection coils. And then I was able to run those through a software package that allowed me to look at up to 16 channels of independent information so that I could correlate background EMF to any EVP that was recorded through the dynamic microphones. And then I had a control audio signal, which was recorded by the condenser mics. So I was able to determine that by comparing these different inputs that the EMF was actually causing the EVP, because I was getting the same waveform in the coils as I was getting in the dynamic microphones.
But it's not sound in the way that we consider sound.
It's not sound at all. Sound is mechanical energy. It's acoustical energy. EVP is electromagnetic energy. It's a completely different kind of energy altogether. For example, sound travels at roughly about 660 miles an hour at sea level, depending on the atmospheric conditions and the temperature. EMF travels at the speed of light. So it's a completely different type of energy. And the energy itself is electromagnetic in nature versus mechanical nature, which sound is the movement of air. It's literally, you have to have physical movement to push air.
Having gone that far, have you been able to quantify this with scientific papers and evidence so independent people can go back and look it over and see what they think?
Well, we don't have anything, you know, like a scientific paper written up about it, but we have several articles that show the correlation and explain the actual techniques that we use so other people can, you know, reproduce it. But I'm not the only one that now has come to this conclusion since we made our announcement. There's been numerous other groups that have confirmed that, you know, EVP is in fact EMF.
Well, welcome to the show, David. This is Chris O'Brien here.
Hi, Chris.
One of the things that I found that skeptics often tout is that the cheaper the microphone or the handheld digital recorder, the more prevalent the EVPs tend to be. What you're describing would kind of fly in the face of that and suggest that there's something other than confabulation and bad circuitry operating here.
Well, there's two things that occur. One, people confuse artifacts with EVP.
We have David Roundtree joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
If you want to get your website online and you need reliable service, first-class service at the lowest possible price, there's only one place to go. Well, DreamHost has a special promotion with our show where they'll offer you unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click web apps such as WordPress, 24/7 support. You can save over $55. You want to know how? Go to DreamHost.com/radio, DreamHost.com/radio.
First game Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream that turns out to be a nightmare because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document, worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
My name's Bruno. I'm 52 years old. I've tried different protein powders over the years, and they've all tasted pretty bad. I tried One World Whey and found it to be delicious. After 10 weeks on One World Whey, my wife commented, "You have more muscles and you're leaner than when you were 20 years old. My body has changed dramatically." I'm a cyclist. Normally I'll ride 2 days on and take 2 days off. After being on One World Whey, I rode 10 days in a row in over 100 degree heat, and then I take another 2 servings of One World Whey, and then work out at the gym for another hour and a half. I just couldn't believe these results. My normal muscle tightness and soreness after working out are virtually gone. Don't take my word for it. One World Whey comes in single servings. Just give it a try.
For a health and taste sensation you'll love, call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
There is no truth to the rumor that Chris O'Brien is a living EVP. Now, you were starting a long answer to a long question, David Roundtree. Right. Maybe pick up on that frame and let's see where we go with it.
Yeah, a lot of people use cheap recorders. They use these little Olympus recorders that are designed to be voice memo recorders. And they claim that they get all these EVPs off of them. But the reality is on these things is that a lot of people hear artifacts. And then when they hear these artifacts due to a condition called pareidolia, which is our brain trying to make order out of chaos, they start to hear things, and then they call it like a Class C or a Class B EVP. At Spirit Lab, we have no classification. You either have an EVP or you don't. And how we test an EVP is we will blind send it to 5 people on our email list and tell them what do they hear. And if we get 5 similar answers back, then we consider it a legitimate EVP. Cheaper recorders and cheaper equipment are going to give you cheaper results. If you don't use an external microphone, any EVP you may get, it is because you are picking it up from the unshielded mic preamp in the device itself. We use a fairly decent recorder. We use a Tascam DR07 as our minimum level recorder that we use. And we always use an external mixer, and we use 2 Audax F4 microphones to do our EVP work. We also record 2 channels of condenser microphone tracks as a control so that we can correlate between what is sound and what is actually EVP. The EVPs, when you compare the 4 waveforms, the EVPs will stick out in the dynamic files, and they're not present in the condenser files. So instead of having to sit there and listen to hours and hours of audio, you can visually scan through your files and locate your EVPs pretty quickly by doing that.
Yeah, that's pretty convenient.
Well, it saves a lot of time, particularly when you've got five or six recorders and, you know, 8 hours each of recorded material on them.
Right. Yeah, I've done some work with Michael Esposito, who's based in Chicago, and over the years he has, I think, in my estimation at least, with a bit of a background in audio myself, he's really been able to capture some pretty compelling, as they're described, Class A EVPs. Where have you found the most productive locations to get EVP? What is your methodology, and how do you determine where to go?
You know, we don't do investigations. That's the first thing. We do research. They're two different animals. We usually get called in by a investigative group to bring our equipment in and to run a detailed analysis of the location. We use very little human interaction when we go in because our instrumentation detects human interaction. I mean, if we have a person go into the room while we're measuring in the room, and we measure many things besides EVP, we can tell it affects our instrumentation. So there's a human element involved in it. It's not that we don't have people go in from time to time. We do. But we also insert markers in the data so that we know that people were present during that data set. We also wire our people with individual voice recorders so that we can eliminate any of their audio from being mistaken for a false positive in EVP. But we get called into a site that's already been determined to have activity by an investigative group, and then we go in and do a detailed analysis of the location. And we set up a battery of equipment to measure different aspects of the environment using data logging devices, which allows us to have a continuous, unbroken stream of data for all the different sensors that we're using, you know, for a later correlation between any personal experience that may happen, any other experience that's undocumented or, you know, subjective in nature, as well as all of the objective data that's collected by the cameras, the data recorders, and everything else. So it's a little bit different mindset. We don't run around jumping up and down saying, oh, I have a spike. We're literally looking at the EMF waveforms, determining what the frequency of those waveforms are, and then locating the emergence point of those waveforms in the location.
Now, David, when people call you in, precisely what are they seeing that they feel fits into your area of expertise?
Well, they'll have different experiences, such as they'll encounter environmental differentials like coal spots, or they'll have telekinetic activity where objects move, or they may have visual stimulation where they see a type of what you might call a type of projective image, or what people call a ghost, that sort of thing. So when they have these kinds of experiences that they can't explain, and then they have some handheld data that would seem to indicate that something a little amiss is going on, they generally would call us in to do a detailed analysis, or the owner does, of the property after that.
So who are you going to call? And you're the Ghostbuster.
Well, we're not Ghostbusters. we don't bust anything. We literally go in and we try to determine exactly what the truth is at the situation. We're not really hunting for anything but the truth. Even no matter what we believe we may find, we go in assuming that nothing paranormal is occurring, and we let the data convince us otherwise.
But how do you correlate strange sounds with physical effects, such as cold spots, such as things moving around that they shouldn't be moving around?
Well, you have to take a preponderance of evidence. It takes a lot of data to make a determination that anything's going on. You literally just can't walk in with a couple pieces of equipment and declare something. I mean, you can, but you're not really declaring anything. We go in and we check different aspects of the environment. We check gravity along three different axes, not just gravity from the Earth, but gravity from three different directions. We check the Earth's magnetic field for fluctuations. We check barometric pressure, temperature, humidity. We look for gamma radiation. We look for ultraviolet light. We look for static energy. We look for EMF. We look for EVP. We look for time fluctuations. We look for a lot of different things. And generally speaking, these things occur in a very localized area of the room. When they do, any activity tends to be within that realm of fluctuation of data. And it's led me to come up with my theory about what causes, you know, paranormal activity. And of course, Tom Fusco, who is totally a theoretician, had come up with similar predictions to what would occur in the environment. And when we actually met, he found out that my experiments were actually proving an aspect of his theory.
Okay, so let's correlate this very quickly here, okay? And that is, if you measure something in a location, you can say for certain that some kind of paranormal activity is happening there. There's no reverse situation where you see the paranormal activity, but none of the stuff is being measured.
You know, the subjective experience is very powerful, but it doesn't have a lot of weight, evidence-wise. And it boils down to your definition of evidence. A lot of people may see something, and it may be real, but there's no proof that they saw it. It's a personal experience. It's subjective. So it's like an eyewitness account. And while it has some weight to it, it really doesn't hold a lot of water, you know, scientifically, other than a person saw something. When you go in and you're looking at 12 to 14 different aspects of the environment, and every place in the room is staying normal except for a specific area in that room where stuff is happening, then your evidence set is a whole lot stronger that something unusual is occurring there.
Now, in a situation like this, do you find, and this is a question that will extend to our next segment, do you ever find that people are just pulling the wool over your eyes, and how do you know they are? Because of the nature of what they tell you, the lack of this physical evidence, what?
Well, this is not my first rodeo. I've been doing this for 36 years. I know what to look for in the environment. The whole idea of what we look for in the environment, we determine. We determine through experimentation, through hypothetical thought process, through working our way into developing a theory as to what actually is going on. So when somebody tells me something, I know exactly what type of environmental changes would be associated with that kind of phenomena, at least historically.
We have this historical announcement to present first. David Roundtree joins Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Freudian phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO at WebTV.net. That's MrUFO at WebTV.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
Are you frustrated with your current job? Not making the type of money that you know you are worth? Is it time for a change? Maybe it's time you considered starting your own home-based business. Autopilot Marketing has helped thousands of people, just like you, get started working from home. Whether it's an extra $250 to $500 per month part-time or a six-figure full-time income, anything is possible. You don't need any special skills or experience. Anyone can succeed with Autopilot Marketing. Take our free video tour and find out if this opportunity is right for you. Go to income16.com now. That's income, the number 16.com. Take our free video tour today and start earning money as early as next week. Go to income16.com. That's income, the number 16.com.
Woulda, coulda, shoulda. Yeah, buying them another sweater, game, or other holiday gift they didn't need was nice. But this season, why not take the easy road, the safer road, and the smarter road? Get those you love something they do need. Give the gift of preparedness with Freeze Dry Guy gift cards. Since 1970, the veteran-owned Freeze Dry Guy has been your trusted source for emergency preparedness with easy-to-make, delicious freeze-dried foods and dehydrated foods. These long-lasting foods are lifesavers, which come with added comfort, confidence, and convenience, perfect for any power outage, natural disaster, political crisis, or emergency at home, such as job loss or illness. Call Freeze Dry Guy now at 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD, or log on to freezedryguy.com. You can't predict what's going to happen to your loved ones, but when it does, you can have them ready with gift cards from freezedryguy.com.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even if I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that most of the soils that we grow our crops on here in the United States and across the industrialized world are almost completely depleted of almost all of the key minerals and trace elements that our bodies need to rebuild themselves, fight off cancer, and be healthy. I then searched out the best vitamin and mineral company out there and discovered Youngevity. The Youngevity products are designed to give you the real nutrition you need, and once you've got that, you don't have to eat as much to be satisfied. I've lost 37 pounds in 2 months simply getting the vitamins and minerals I need. Check it out for yourself. It's incredible. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com today and order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.
Hello, this is Rosemary Ellen Guiley, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
There he is, Mr. EVP, the trickster himself, making his presence known with David Roundtree. We're looking at scientific aspects of paranormal investigation, and we're hunting not just ghosts, but the effects they produce to find the physical phenomenon. So to clarify this, if you go to a place where they say they've seen things, right, and you check it out, there's nothing physically that seems to be strange, you would then suspect the claim?
Well, I would initially, but it doesn't necessarily mean that the claim isn't true. You would have to repeat visits if you did not get data several times under several different conditions at several different times of day in order to eliminate that as an option. This stuff doesn't, you know, perform at will. It has a cyclic nature to it, but it has a randomness about its cycle. So if something came in and they claimed the thing was active all the time and there was all this stuff happening and we got Zippo, or we may find something natural that may be, you know, contributing to it. Like we've found tons of things like carbon monoxide leaks. We found situations where there was super high levels of radon, things that could cause type hallucinogenic behavior in a human being. So we have discovered things that were natural explanations for some of the things that occur. But if we go in and we're looking for different aspects of the environment to change and it doesn't, and we can't find it, and we have some pretty sophisticated equipment for looking for it, if we don't find that, we're immediately suspect as to the nature of the validity of the information that was given to us in the first place. But again, you can't make a snap judgment call on a first investigation or a first evaluation of a site. You have to keep going back several times in order to establish some type of pattern or control situation with it. And we've had it happen. We've had people that, you know, basically they wanted to be on TV and they told us a whole line of stuff, you know, to get their house looked at or to get their place of business looked at. And we would go in and we would find no evidence for the claim.
They want the real ghost hunters to be there.
Well, they want to be on TV. You know, in this day and time, everyone wants to be on TV.
Well, speak for yourself. I don't want to be on TV. I want to frighten the audience. Okay. Now, have you ever tried to take that equipment and put it in the presence of other reported paranormal phenomena, say UFOs? So if there was a UFO sighting, what would we measure? I ever had the opportunity?
Well, when we first started in 1976, we looked at everything. We looked at cryptozoology. We looked at And I use the word we because I've always had people working with me. I've had assistants. I've had other research associates working with me. But we looked at crypto beasts. We looked at, other types of phenomena like raining frogs and things of that nature. And we looked at, you know, the whole haunting phenomena as well as UFOs. The problem with UFOs is it's all after the fact. You're always investigating something after it happens because you're never lucky enough to be in a location with equipment running when something appears. So you're always having to look for trace evidence when you're dealing with a UFO. And primarily the only real evidence that I have ever seen, trace evidence that you could find from any type of UFO encounter, was radiation, abnormally higher levels of radiation than you would normally encounter in that environment. And generally that's gamma radiation that you encounter. So looking for gamma radiation is about the only thing you could really look for after the fact that would give you any kind of indication that something may have occurred where someone claimed a UFO took place.
All right, but the level of radiation, is something that could potentially cause harm to people?
Absolutely. We put a warning out earlier this year after we experimented with a new device that I designed. Called the EMF quadrilator, which literally scans a room for emerging EMF and tells us where it's located. We also had gamma radiation data loggers. And when paranormal activity occurs, background gamma radiation jumps significantly to the point of where you start getting a lot of rapid fire random bursts of gamma radiation occurring in the environment. And prolonged exposure to it could cause people to have cancer. And we have had a lot of deaths in the field from cancer over the last few years. And I can't help but think
in terms of UFO researchers or witnesses?
UFO researchers and as well as people who investigate haunted houses.
Can you name a few UFO researchers we'd recognize?
We just lost Lloyd Pye. I mean, he died, what, yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, I can't name them off the top of my head, but, you know, I can tell you for a fact that there was, I'm trying to think of her name, Dawn Shea maybe was her name, which was a paranormal investigator in the field that died last year, I believe it was, from cancer. And we've had other people report having cancer that is getting treatment for it that haven't died. So the instances of cancer occurrences statistically are being reported more and more, and I don't know what the exact statistics of them are. Or anything else.
Yeah, I can rattle off a bunch of names.
Yeah, I mean, I can tell you that I've read about it, you know, recently and made a note of it, and it was enough.
Ellen Crystal, Leah Haley, Mark Davenport.
Yeah.
Been quite a number, actually.
Lloyd Pye, by the way, was just 66.
Yeah.
When he died. What kind of cancer did he have?
I didn't see any particular attribution in any of the articles that I read. So I'm not sure.
Lloyd Pye was on the Paracast a few years ago, this skull that he was going around with, and there was some debate over its reality, but of course it's unfortunate the guy's no longer here to defend himself. You know, 66 is too young to go.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The person that I was talking about, she was maybe in her early 40s. So we're seeing a lot of that, and based on what we've been measuring, it's not a surprise, because if people are doing this stuff every weekend and they're going into these locations and the location is active, they're being exposed to probably the equivalent of 200 or 300 x-rays a night while they're in that location, if it's active.
Yeah, that's fascinating. I've never heard this, that gamma radiation has now been shown to be associated with the emergence of paranormal activity.
Let me just tell you, I got this information due to our great research department here at the Paracast. He was diagnosed some months back, Lloyd Pye, with aggressive B-cell lymphoma. Now, is that something that could be related to radiation poisoning? I'm just asking.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
In any form of cancer.
Yeah, the body reacts to radiation in a variety of different ways. I mean, I know people that have had bone cancer. I know people that have developed stomach cancer from radiation exposure. It just really depends on the genetic makeup of the person and how their body reacts to the overexposure. So it could cause a lot of different types of cancer. But we started recommending for people to take something like really inexpensive, like, you know, those X-ray tech cards that X-ray techs wear, and just put them on your team. And when they change color, you know, take,
right,
take
dose meters.
Take a break for a month, you know. stay out of the fire.
We ought to have health warnings for paranormal researchers. I'm being serious.
Well, yeah, well, we do. We put it out. One of the parts of my theory is, you know, this is where Tom and I differ. I believe it's based on an Einstein-Rosen bridge formation or a wormhole. And one of the aspects of stabilizing a wormhole is to have exotic matter. And exotic matter is simply matter that has a negative mass to it. Well, when exotic matter comes into contact with normal matter, it annihilates. And fortunately, it annihilates at a subatomic level instead of at an atomic level, or we'd have huge craters where haunted houses used to be. But because it annihilates at a subatomic level, all you get is these huge bursts of gamma radiation. And they're very short-lived, but they can reach a level of up to, we've measured 350 millirad per hour bursts.
Wow.
Which is hardcore gamma radiation. Now, in a burst format, it's not, you know, long-term exposure. But if you're in there for an hour and a half and there's activity and the radiation is there, you're getting bombarded by these bursts, like these little bullets, you know, of gamma radiation are just like firing through you. So the longer you're exposed to it, of course, the more, you know, radiation you're absorbing in your body.
So now, maybe we can assume that people who are UFO witnesses or alleged UFO witnesses who are very old never really saw anything.
What do you mean by that?
Well, he's talking about repeated exposure.
No, that's what I'm saying, sure. Someone who is regularly seeing UFOs, you'd think they'd have some physical
effect. Yeah, Billy Myers should have been dead years ago if that's the case, right?
Well
maybe he is,
and
we don't know about it. Maybe his doppelganger is here. Hey, we've got David Roundtree joining us, and we're discussing the physical measurable effects of paranormal phenomena, and some of it may not be good for your health. With Gene and Chris in
The Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
These days, so many suffer from heartburn, stomach ulcers, and acid reflux, and most never realize it is the high acidity within the body that causes their discomfort. While selective diet choices can help, AlkaVision Plasma pH drops can really make a change. A few drops added to water can optimize your body's pH level, ridding you of harmful waste and acid, promoting health, and restoring vibrance and energy. Healthy pH levels make all the difference. High acidity can also cause depression, insomnia, and irritability. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops bring you vital balance that can be truly life-changing. Alkalizing boosts immune response, reduces headaches and cramping, and even helps prevent bone loss. This is simple science that helps your body do what's natural. Order your AlkaVision pH Drops for just $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body, supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.